We get to pause. We get to consider the great and marvelous things that you have done. Greater than any miracle is the transformation of a soul. And so we thank you for Jose, for Cheryl. Lord, we thank you for Cindy Amison. We thank you for the Riley family, for Scott and Jennifer and Caitlin. And we just ask that you would bless their testimonies. We know that you already have, but help us to receive the full blessing. And thank you so much that they're coming here, wanting to be members, wanting to serve here alongside of us. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, come on up here, Jose, and if you don't mind holding the microphone. We usually have a stand, but I'm like,
all right, I'm usually really bad at standing in front of people, and so I'm going to read this verbatim. So, my life before Christ. I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago until I was 12 and moved to Hammond, Indiana. My parents became believers when I was very young. Being on the south side, there were gangs, and I have like 15 aunts and uncles, some who were gang members. I'm Puerto Rican, so my family was around a lot. My dad worked really hard to get us out of the south side, so we moved to Hammond. My dad worked at Moody, started off rolling the film back on the old projector wheels back then. Then he got promoted to janitor. He was also going to school for computer-aided drafting, and then he became the CAD operator and helped with the design and construction of new buildings at Moody. My uncle went to jail, and he sold us his house. I wasn't in a gang, but I was surrounded by gangs, so it was hard. We attended Eastside Bible Church in Chicago. Right before we moved to Hammond, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. Sadly, it came back near her heart. She passed away at 43. I was 15 years old. When my mom passed away, my dad moved on quickly, only a year after my mom died. My stepmom was a Jehovah's Witness. The whole family broke off ties with our family, and my sisters moved out as well. How I came to know Christ. When I was 9 years old, I came to know Christ at Eastside Bible Church. John 3:16 spoke to me about salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I am thankful God saved me. My life since I came to know Christ. When I came to know the Lord, I really enjoyed learning about the Bible. Both my parents were in charge of children's church. By the time I was 10, I read the Bible so much that I read the entire Bible. Even as a kid, I was persecuted in school for reading the Bible. They called me Bible boy. When we moved to Hammond, a neighbor would cuss me out for going to church. That didn't discourage me. It just made me stronger in the Lord. After my mom passed, my dad remarried when I was 15. I was on my own living with friends and homeless. I wasn't safe, but the Lord took care of me. Sometimes I even had guns pointed at me. I was not always faithful to the Lord, but he was faithful to me. My dad tried to be a good example, and I had a friend's father, Mr. Lee, who gave us a place to stay and was a Christian man that really taught us how to follow Christ. My best friend Bogart's family took care of me as well. I kept growing in the Lord, and the Lord guided my path. I worked at Moody for 3 summers, from the age of 14 to 16. I was on the special crew. That meant we did everything from shampooing carpets, set up and takedown, or whatever they needed. I didn't finish high school, but instead got my GED. Outside of my friends at Moody, most of my friends were unbelievers. I did witness about Jesus and salvation to my friends a lot. I was a part of the arcade scene. It was there I met a larger group of friends. Through that, Satan tried to get me back into the world. Slowly, I started falling away from the Lord, living in the world, and would get under conviction from the Holy Spirit. Then I would stay away from the world for 6 to 8 months at a time. But I wasn't mature in my faith, so I would get lured back in. My closest friends would get tired of hearing me and my confession of sin and going back and forth between Christ and the world. During this time, I met a girl who wasn't a believer. I was with her for 8 years, and I would rationalize my sin. I kept trying to get her to understand and to be saved. She would continually reject Christ. She got pregnant. She had a boy named Christian, who I thought was mine. I stayed with her because I loved Christian, but we weren't married. I realized I couldn't be a faithful believer and keep resisting the Lord. We eventually broke up because the girl started using drugs and being very unstable. Even in all that, God was faithful to me. He never let me go, like the prodigal. I came back to my Heavenly Father. He is so good. I got a job at a methadone clinic, and it was there I met my wife, Cheryl, where we both worked together. We had been friends for 7.5 years, even while I was in another relationship. Cheryl was a Christian at the time, and Christ drew us together as friends. Now that I was single, I had asked her, what would she think about dating me? Cheryl took me to a party because I had just broken up with my girlfriend, and she was a part of a Christian singles group. In return, I asked her out. She said no, but I said, I really want you to think about it and pray about it. She did, and a week later, we went out together. I had heard Cheryl was attending Robert's Row Bible Church. This was the church I attended when I was very little. What a small world. Cheryl began to understand the doctrines of grace in 2009. I started attending there at Robert's Road as well. I also realized about 4 years ago that I have never been baptized, and so I followed the Lord in believer's baptism at the time. I can honestly say that since I put my faith in Christ as a child, God has never let me go. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He is faithful to bring me back to him no matter what. The Bible says, though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again. It has also says that I am predestined to conform to the image of his son. Also, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He is growing me every day. Even when I sometimes was straying away from the Lord in the world, there was always the love and conviction of the word. I couldn't live comfortably in my sin. I was witnessing, I was a believer, but I was immature. I was trying to live the Christian life in my own power. I was constantly dragged down until I met Cheryl. Being with another believer was refreshing. We would read the word of God and pray together. My confessions of Christ. As I come for membership at Living Hope, I want to confess that Jesus is my comforter, my King, my Lord, and my Savior. I want to be identified by my relationship with Christ, not as a gamer or anything else. I love Jesus. That is what I want to be known for. I'd like to close with a scripture verse that gives me great comfort. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Cheryl, come on. Now, Cheryl's testimony, one day we're going to turn this into a book. Because there is, like, she's lived like five lives for God. And she's got 9, so you've got plenty more.
Yeah, he condensed this a little bit. And I'm grateful. Good morning, everybody. Okay. So, my life before Christ. Well, I was born into a Catholic family on Chicago's northwest side. Go Cubs. He didn't write that. My parents were older when I was born. I'm the youngest of 6 children. There's actually a 21-year difference between me and my oldest sibling. Growing up, we were very poor. My dad was illiterate. I think he had a learning disability. I think we were the poorest family in the neighborhood, but we were well-loved, we were popular. My oldest sister was old enough to be my mom. By the time I came around, my dad told my mom to get an abortion. My mom said, nope, God put it there and that's where it's staying. And if you don't like it, there's the door. Yeah. My dad was physically and verbally abusive to my mom and to us children. My mom dealt with it by becoming an alcoholic. My mom was nice, funny, giving, even taught you how to say your Catholic prayers. But when she drank, she was the devil. She was extremely mean when she was drunk. I remember being very small and seeing our Catholic family Bible. I was smart. I learned how to read early. When I was just 3, I got on my tippy toes and thumbed through the Bible. There were pictures depicting the passion of Christ, and that really stirred me. I remember asking my mom, who is that nice man, and why are those evil people beating him? Why are they killing him? And my mom said, he's the Son of God, and he's always watching you. He sees whatever you do, whether it's good or bad, and he has the angels write down your actions in the book, and you can always talk to him. She also taught me about the Holy Trinity and encouraged me to always talk to God. Because my dad was so verbally abusive and my mom was abusive and drunk, by the time I was about 9 years old, I would stay away from home and come back around 10 or 10:30 at night. I would always pray that everyone would be asleep before I got there. I spent a lot of time alone as a kid. My mom had told me I could always talk to God, so I always did. My first memory of going to church was at 4 years old. My parents went to a Catholic church that one time, and it had a giant crucifix. I saw all these people leaving the church, putting handwritten notes for prayer and under the feet of Jesus or kissing the statue. And I remembered saying, Lord, I'm going to ask my parents to pick me up so I could kiss its feet. I know that's not you. But when I kiss the statue's feet, I want you to feel it on your feet. When I was 8, I was outside looking up to heaven, and I said, Lord, I know I've been with you until now, but one day I'm going to walk away from you, and I just pray that you would bring me back. During junior high, I was bullied by a white street gang that hated me. I told my mom, about it, and she told me to just wear a heavy belt with a big buckle and just put my back to the wall and swing it. She told me to fight back, but they had baseball bats, knives, things like that. They bullied me. They would tell me I was nothing, and I felt completely unprotected. By the time I was a teenager, I started hanging out with a rival gang. I was going to find protection somewhere if I didn't get it at home. I started dating a guy who was 18 years old. He was living with a girl and had a baby. I was still a virgin. He used to say, I'm saving money. When I have enough money to rent an apartment, I'll leave her and I'll marry you. I want to be around to raise my daughter, so I can't leave right now. And I was naive. I thought, well, if I get pregnant, he'll really marry me, and I'll be rescued from my house. I was not interested in sex in the least, but I lost my virginity to him when I was 14 years old, and I got pregnant right away. I remember when I told him I thought we were going to get married now, but instead he said, I have another baby, and I can't have another baby now. I can't afford another baby now. He told me to get an abortion. I was a freshman in high school. I didn't have anywhere to go or anyone to help me. My sister took me to the abortion clinic. I kept wishing there was another way. I was thinking, there's nobody to help me. When I got there, I asked to speak to a counselor. The lady said, it's just a blob of cells. It's not a baby yet. You're 14. You're too young. You can't raise a baby. I asked her, are you sure? I remember being on the abortion table, just crying. I remember I held my stomach and talked to my baby the day before. I was asking the baby for forgiveness, telling the baby that I loved it. I didn't know what to do. There was no help. There was no internet to find help. After that abortion, I knew I was a murderer. I think that really solidified in my mind how worthless I was. After the abortion, I broke up with the young man. I officially joined the gang and became a Latin queen. I was 16 years old. I thought, if I find the worst, most violent gang member boyfriend, and he changed for me, that would let me know I was worth something. At that time, I was walking down the street with my friends, and three guys passed me. I stopped in my tracks and I told my friend, that guy is going to be my boyfriend for 3 years and I'm going to have a baby with him. And that's exactly what happened. Sadly, I began to be physically abused by him. Physical abuse is part of the gang life. In spite of that, we were crazy about each other. We did a lot of burglaries together. I became pregnant with this man's baby. I remember I heard rumors he was with another girl, and here I was 6 months pregnant. I was a Latin queen. Someone said, here comes your man, and he was with another girl. I took a knife, and I tried to slice her throat, but my boyfriend grabbed me and stopped me. I ended up having my oldest daughter, Yvonne, when I was 17. Well, actually, I was 16. My boyfriend was messing around with other girls, so I broke up with him. And 6 months after I broke up with him, he went to prison for murder. He literally was the craziest man in the gang. Nobody would mess with him because they knew he'd kill him. And he was pretty brutal to me. I was doing my best to raise my little girl. I went back and lived with my parents. So I was again being verbally abused at home. It was also physical abuse. My little daughter would hear all of the abuse as well. I did end up dating, and I got pregnant several more times. In my life, sadly, I've had several abortions. When Yvonne was 2 years old, I started dating a man named Edwin. I moved in with him. I got really close to his family, but I never really fit in with Hispanics, whites, or blacks. I was never white enough. I was never Hispanic enough. And I was never accepted by most of my black friends. When I got pregnant with Edwin, when he found out, he punched me in the stomach. This was a whole new level of sadistic abuse. He was extremely physically abusive to me and very mean to Yvonne. It was 7.5 years of trying to get away from him. He would put a loaded .357 to my head and a pistol, and he pistol whipped me. He tried to crash my car with me and my daughter in it. My daughter went through a lot of abuse when she was so young. I would try to escape, but he would kidnap us. I had 2 abortions from him when I was with him, but I also had my daughters, Danielle and Samantha, with him. This was before Eddie was born. How I came to know Christ. Eventually, I found myself at a women's shelter to find protection from Edwin. I was 24 years old, and I was confused, and I had a little premature newborn daughter named Samantha, and she was in and out of the hospital. In the hospital, I was praying and called out to God for my baby to live. I went to the hospital chapel and asked the chaplain for a Bible. When I finally opened up the Bible the chaplain gave me, it was like someone took the dark glasses off and I could finally see Jesus. I didn't know much, but I knew I believed Jesus. I still didn't feel like I could be a Christian, even though I wanted to be one. The time came when Samantha died. I held her until she passed away. I went and I stood in the nurse's station. Her father, Edwin, showed up at the hospital crying. I could feel God's presence all around me as she died. And I prayed, thank you, God, for Samantha. She belonged to you more than she belonged to me. I said, Lord, I don't know what happened to her. If she's asleep, I don't know where she is. I'm asking you to have mercy on me. Your mother Mary watched you die on the cross, so you know how I feel. I said, Lord, I don't expect an answer from you. But if you do answer, please answer in a way I know it could only be coming from you. My dad paid for Samantha's funeral. The nuns who ran the battered women's shelter where I lived bought the tombstone. I was still in the shelter with Yvonne and Danielle. I got a call from my sister. She said to our other sister, Teresa had a message for you. She said Teresa prayed by Samantha's grave. The phrase God gave me was kumbaya. She said, I think I have that song in my organ music. It kept coming to her in her mind. She was thinking other thoughts, But that phrase, kumbaya, kumbaya, kept coming to her in her mind, and she thought, this is weird. You know, I don't know where that's coming from. I better go find out what it means. So when my sister Joanne told me, I fell on the floor, and I was sobbing uncontrollably. She asked, are you okay? I said, you don't understand. The God of the universe took time to comfort me. From that time, I knew who the truth was. I knew he answered my prayer through my sister, because kumbaya literally means risen to life. And that was the answer to my prayer. I asked God what happened to Samantha, and he answered me through my sisters, who didn't even know that I prayed, that she had risen to life. I remember, after realizing that Jesus was the truth and the only way to heaven after Samantha had died, I was standing in my parents' room around about the time was about March of 1993. All of those abusive words that my parents, the bullies, the men in my life were swirling in my head. You're worthless. You're no good. You're dumb. You're nothing. It was like someone cut the recording, and suddenly the Lord spoke to me. He put his thoughts in my head, and it was, Jesus thinks you're worth dying for. This was foreign to me. But the abusive words came back and swirled in my head again. And then, just like before, it stopped, and I heard, Jesus thinks you're worth dying for. And I remember thinking, if that's true, I'll never let someone treat me worthless again. Jesus died for me, and that made all the difference. I was living in the battered women's shelter, and then I got my own apartment. But Edwin was relentless in stalking me. He had become a gang member, and he wasn't previously, he was just mean. Later, he also became a gang member. I was not affiliated with that gang. But when I was associated with him, the Latin Kings, who I was formerly affiliated with, put a hit out on me, what they call an SOS, a shoot on sight, because now I was affiliated with another opposing gang, even though I wasn't in that gang. So he found me for the umpteenth time. He would literally go through neighborhoods checking doorbells and would look for my name or have other gangs search for me. So he picked the lock of my new apartment and he broke in and he put a 9mm to me and brutally beat me and raped me at gunpoint. This wasn't the first time. I mean, he had raped me before and beat me numerous times. But this time, when he raped me, I got pregnant with my son, Eddie. This time, abortion was not an option because I knew who Jesus was. And I said, God, you're the one who put the baby there, and I'll do the best I can, but you have to take care of us. I finally ended up dating someone else, a black guy named Ralph, and we got married. I had started a Bible study at work. I talked to the union steward to see if I could possibly start a Bible study there. The Lord was drawing me to himself. We did the Bible study for 9 months. Finally, my sister became a born-again believer. One day, I was with my mom and my sister, and a song by Larnell Harris came on. The song was When Praise Demands a Sacrifice. In that song, it draws the analogy between when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac and God stopped him, when it was the time for God's son to be sacrificed. He didn't stay his hand. And at that moment, I took my seatbelt off. I got on my knees in the car, and I said to God, take my life. That's it. I don't want it anymore. take it. Whatever you want to do with me, I just want to follow you. I don't want it anymore. He said, if you'll have me, I'm done. I want you. And I knew I was born again. God saved me. My life since I came to know Christ. When I came to know the Lord, immediately I told Ralph, no more sex outside of marriage. I said, if you want to walk away, I understand. I told him, I'm getting baptized and I'm not living in sin anymore. I went and got baptized at Moody Church in Chicago on June 9th, 1996. I had to go through classes for baptism. As the day drew near, I got into a deep depression. Now, this is something I had been looking forward to all my life. Even when I was a gang member, I used to tell the other gang members when we would talk about what we wanted to be when we grew up, because even gang members have hopes and dreams, even though we all expect to die or go to prison. lost my place here. But as the day drew near, I went into a deep depression. And I could understand, I don't know how, I knew that this depression wasn't me. Because I had been looking forward to being baptized for so long. But as the day kept drawing nearer, I kept getting more depressed. There was like a heavy depression being put on me. I knew it wasn't coming from me, but from the devil. And the closer I came to baptism, the darker the depression came. I was saved, but the wicked one wasn't done with me. I did get baptized at Moody Church. My depression didn't get any better after the baptism. Literally, when I was baptized, my teeth were clenched and I was growling. My sister Joanne had become a Christian, and God led me to know, I don't know how, but he led me to know that I was supposed to go to my sister and ask her friend to lay hands on me. Now, I was a brand new Christian. I couldn't have known that. I didn't have any charismatic teachings or anything. But on one Saturday morning, we sat on my sister's bed, and my sister and her friend were praying over me. I was praying with them. Suddenly, on the top of my head, I felt an overwhelmingly uncomfortable energy that was immersing me. I peeked to see where it was coming from. I saw my sister's friend Olivia with one hand up to heaven and one hand over my head. It was so intense, I wanted to push away. In my mind, I said, nope, I'm trusting God. And at that moment, I felt freedom from 1,000 dark bindings. It came up out of me like someone shook out a pillow full of feathers. All of a sudden, the sky was bright, the grass was green, and the air was fresh. God had taken that foul spirit of depression from me. After that, Ralph and I were married. He didn't want a public wedding. He wanted to be a Chicago police officer. We were married in Arizona. We eloped. I feel like he married me and used me as a stepping stone to help him become a cop. I continued to grow in faith, and I was going to Moody for a while with my children. In 1998, I took classes at Moody for abortion ministry counseling to help women like me. During that time, a doctor came in and taught a class. He said when women have had abortions, it can make them infertile because of infection. It can also mess up the lining of your uterus and cause the placenta to drop down if you do become pregnant. That can cause premature birth. Samantha died on August 8th of 1991. She was born prematurely as a result of placenta previa because of, you know, the baby settled low in my uterus, and that probably was because of previous abortion. So not only did I murder my own children, but this precious daughter who had been born to me that I loved more than I loved my own life, suffered every day of her life and died as a result. So I'm passionate against abortion. I believe the truth of Romans 8:28, that God works all things for the good and for his glory to conform us to Christ. I go faithfully to several abortion mills and tell women who want to kill their babies that there's hope in Christ. I want to be that barrier, that person to open my arms to them. I want to be that person that I didn't have. Ralph wouldn't go to church. He had told me he was a Christian before we got married, but when we went to premarital counseling, they told me not to marry him, to wait. I didn't listen. Sadly, Ralph was cheating after just a few months of marriage. This was the only man that Eddie knew as his father at the time. After 4 years, Ralph left with another married woman. Me and the kids were alone again. That was in October of 2000. He later divorced me. I was going to Roberts Road Bible Church, and me and Jose were already friends. He was my friend throughout the whole process of everything I went through with Ralph. Jose was telling me to stay away from the world and not to follow the advice of my friends who were telling me to party and to fornicate. Through that, me and Jose became best friends. We would talk about the Lord for hours. The office we worked at was near Moody Bible Institute, so we would eat lunch there together. I was a senior manager where he worked, and Jose was a dirty little maintenance boy. Anyway, we grew closer together as friends, and as God brought us together, led us to marriage. It took me a while to realize it was okay for me to marry Jose. I tried to save my marriage with Ralph, but he wanted a divorce. In premarital counseling with Jose, I realized that I did have biblical grounds for divorce. So the Lord gave me the peace to marry my husband, Jose, and I'm so grateful for him. My confession of Christ: Jesus is everything to me. If I go to heaven and no one else is there, and only Jesus is there, that's enough for me. Every time I go through a book of the Bible, I think, this is my favorite book, except for maybe Numbers, you know? But as I come for membership, I want to leave you with the story of Mary of Bethany breaking the alabaster box in Luke 7:36 through 50. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "If you were a prophet, you would know what kind of woman is at your feet." He said, "Simon, did you wash my feet when you came in?" And Jesus said, "But this woman washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair." He said, "Those who are forgiven much love much." Another verse that is very powerful to me is Romans 8:38. "Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." I was told I was worthless all my life, and I lived a worthless life. But now I know God sent his Son to endure the full wrath of God for me, and that's amazing. To know that he made so much of me in his love to die for me, that's real love. Praise God for his amazing love. And I just want you to know that when you see me out there raising my hands, I may seem very animated, but it's because I am so full of love for God. And most of the time, no words are even coming out because I'm so choked up. And I love all of you. You are my forever family, and I'm grateful for all of you. Thank you for hearing my testimony.
God. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Amen. Cindy, come on up here. What a joy to get to know you. I think you have the gift of joyfulness. Praise God.
Hi, everyone. I'm pretty moved by Cheryl's story, and so this will be less smooth than I was even hoping for. Probably not your fault, just, you know, like it might be okay, but just so you know, I appreciate it so much. And so many times we're blessed beyond measure, and we get to hear people share their experience, strength, and hope. There's something special for me, and my life is better and richer because of it. So thank you to all of you. So here we go. I was born in Hinsdale, Illinois. My parents are believers. I'm so grateful to be raised in a Christian home. Having said that, we went to a Protestant church, and we heard the gospel there, but we didn't speak much of it in the home. I loved going to church and learning about Jesus as a child and into my adult life. I heard at church that Jesus is the Son of God and only Savior, and I needed to accept him as forgiver and leader of my life. There were also a lot of rules at church. We were not to drink, dance, or even wear makeup or jewelry. I got past that, didn't I? But anyway, a lot of rules, and I had a lot of guilt associated with God because it seemed I could never measure up. I spent a lot of my life as a child and into my young adult life trying to be so good and perfect, trying to measure up. Of course, no one can measure up. I learned that when I came to Christ, even though I struggled later with trying to be perfect. How I came to know Christ, I did Bible study classes. I was encouraged to read the Bible for myself. I went to church school, and I went to church school from the 5th grade to the 12th grade. At the age of 11 and a half, I realized I needed Christ as forgiver and leader of my life. I truly understood that I was now part of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I was so happy to be a child of God. I wanted to go public with my faith, so I was baptized by immersion at 11 and a half years old. Now that I had come to Christ, my faith was going to be tested. At the Protestant church school, I was bullied. Another Cindy ganged up all the kids against me. I had no friends from the 5th to the 9th grade, but somehow I knew that Christ was my friend. I was a girl who regularly prayed, "Help me to have friends today." I also prayed at the beginning of each school year, "Help me to have friends this year." By the 10th grade, the girl that bullied me had left the school, but I didn't trust any of the students, and I found it more comfortable and safer to be by myself. My junior and senior years in high school, I attended a co-ed boarding school of the same Protestant denomination in Wisconsin. It was a fresh start. I could have hung out with any of the kids. I spent time with and connected with the kids that were the unpopular ones, for the most part. In spite of all the rejection and betrayal by people, I found that I truly loved people. This was the result of Jesus doing a good work in me and through me. I should have been a person that didn't like or love people at all, and no one would really blame me. if this was the case. I remember when I was 15 years old, Clem Watson, a dear brother in Christ who was a member of my church, complimented me on my smile. I came to understand in my heart that I could smile at people and bring the joy of Jesus to them just through my smile. This grew to my understanding in my young adult life that the main reason that I am on this earth is to love, support, empower, encourage, and invest in people. This was extra embedded in my spirit when in 2005 I read a pocket-sized book by Pastor Rick Warren entitled, What on Earth Am I Here For? It's a mini version of The Purpose-Driven Life. I lived at times into my early 30s, sometimes so depressed I didn't want to live. Even so, Jesus was doing a good work in me. I just wanted to grow in him. I was born again. I had the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I had had a hunger for God's word since I was a child. In my 20s, I was married, and we moved to our home in Hanover Park a couple of years later. Approximately 6 months later, I attended a church of the same denomination that was closer to our home. When I walked in the church, the pianist had earrings on, and I thought they rented her. Oh, I was pleasantly surprised to find that she was a member of the church. I found I was in a more progressive church in that denomination. I made friends. I was involved in church. I served in various leadership positions, including on the church board. I was extremely comfortable. I had several good friends. My volunteer roles were a source of great gratification, not just personally, but also that I was doing God's will. In September of 1997, I attended a church leadership conference with several church board members at a non-denominational church. My eyes were more opened as to having a church that affects the culture. It was much more evangelistic. We were encouraged to go into all the world and tell the world about Jesus. All the world includes our own neighborhoods, the people around the church, and the people in our lives. I would witness for Christ regularly before this conference, but God put another level of understanding in me. After the conference, the church board and the pastor prayerfully and respectfully made changes in the service. We put the words to contemporary Christian songs on the screen and sometimes praising God through applause in church. Within a month to 2 months, we lost about 3/4 of our membership to other churches in our denomination. It seemed people just wanted to be pew warmers. You come to church and you warm the pew and then you go home. Within several years, the church leadership wanted to go back to the old denominational style of worship. I had been regularly attending the church that I had attended the church leadership conference at, and my church too. I realized I needed somewhere I could grow, so I joined the non-denominational church. I really had a burden to go into all the world and tell everyone about Jesus. I remember the Sunday that I had made the official transition to this church. There was a man in the row behind me that talked with me for a few minutes before the service started. I shared that this was the first day of my transition to this church. He responded with, "When God is leading you, you can't have the peace that passes all understanding without following that leading." He went on to say, we are totally responsible for our wellness with the Lord. What he shared was not only valuable then, but something that has been of great value in many areas of my life since that time. As I come for membership at Living Hope, I want to confess that Jesus is the forgiver and leader of my life. He's my God, my friend, my comforter, my guide. As I close, I'd like to leave you with two verses that have been very meaningful to me. Jeremiah 29:11, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And then Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to have the Riley family come up here, and I believe that Jennifer is going to go first, and then where's the Riley family? Here we go. Yes, and then we're going to have Caitlin and then Scott. So come on up here, and don't worry about the time. We will go into the morning service, no big deal. We are praising God. God's not on a time schedule here. So praise God. Yeah, they can come on in anytime. Yep. And they can just enjoy these testimonies.
My life before Christ. I was born in Oak Park. My parents grew up Catholic. When I was about 4.5 years old, we moved to Lombard. And our neighbor was pastor was Don Cole from Moody Radio. And my mom started attending Bible studies, and she gave her life around 30 to Jesus. And through that, she became a very great influence in my life. And we stayed at the Catholic Church till I was around 19. Then she started going to Lombard Gospel Chapel. And at that time, I stopped going to church, and just live my own life, I guess. But I knew that Jesus was always there, calling for me to come back to him. I knew the gospel well. I needed to be saved. In eighth grade, my mom sent me to a Christian camp in Wisconsin. And there, the camp counselor led me to Christ. There was an invitation. We were all around a campfire. And actually, Cheryl, by saying kumbaya, reminded me of the song that we were singing around the fire. And the camp counselor just kind of told me that when Jesus comes back and how he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and I wanted to be in that number. And she kind of showed, they had a calling, an invitation to come and trust Christ, that he took away, through his death, he took away our sins. I repented and I gave my life to Christ that night. And the Holy Spirit took control of my life. My life since I came to know Christ. When I was saved, the Holy Spirit made me uncomfortable in sin, and I wanted to live for him. My mom would witness to many people, and I saw her that she was never fearful to let people know that what Christ had done for her. Where I kind of, and my brothers, I have four brothers, we kind of, sometimes we made fun of her, actually, so we kind of backed off. We weren't always, as brave as my mother, I guess, or... But I wanted to be more like my mother in that aspect of not being afraid to witness to people about Jesus. There were a couple years that, like I said, that I did not go to church, but God was always drawing me to him. So I met Scott, and we went to my mom's church, for we both kind of had that desire to know God and to be closer to him. We did live together, and when we started to attend the church, it kind of weighed on us that we weren't really living the way God wanted us to live, and so we did get married. We married in his church down in near Springfield, Illinois. And then we started going to, we left my mom's church, and we started going to Parkview Community Church. Caitlin was around 18 months old. And we were attending that till Caitlin was in eighth grade. And we never really felt like we were discipled well, and that they didn't put an emphasis on discipleship. So then we kind of struggled spiritually because we weren't being led correctly. But we knew God wanted us to get closer, know him well. We decided to leave that church. Our friends invited us to a Methodist church. And I knew we were actually disobeying God, because it wasn't a good experience. The pastor was a false teacher, kind of wolf in sheep's clothing. He was kind and loving, but things that he was allowing in the church was not something that I knew the Lord agreed through his scriptures. There was a pastor woman who spoke one day, and she lived a life that I definitely did not agree with. I had to leave the service when she was speaking because it was just appalling to me, and I never went back to that church. And you know, we were praying for a few years through this, that we knew that we were attending not a church that was a biblical church in God's word. And while I never went back, Scott and Caitlin did stay till maybe about 4 or 5 months after I left. But we continued to pray, and we actually were led here to Living Hope by my daughter, Caitlin, that God used her to bring us to that circle. And we started coming here, and we started to find that we deeply had a desire to be grounded in Christ. When I came to know Christ, he put the spirit of truth, and I love the word of God, and it hurts me very much when I hear false teachings. So I'm glad to be in a church among fellow believers that loves the word of God and loves the truth. My confession of Christ, who Jesus is to me, as I come for membership at Living Hope, I want to confess that Jesus is my Savior. He's my King. He's the King over my life. He will come again in power and mighty in bringing true justice to this world and giving mercy to those who trust him. I like to leave this passage. This actually was written in a Bible that actually was given to Scott and I on our wedding day from Pastor Cole and his wife on March 22nd, 1997. It's 2 Timothy 14 through 17. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true. For you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have been given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way
fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do.
Thank you.
Sister, beautiful. Thank you so much. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Caitlin, come on up here. So glad you brought your family here to Living Hope and got to meet you on Good Friday. Praise the Lord. Do you need a paper copy? I have a paper copy.
You can read it. Yeah. Hello. So, my life before Christ. I was born in Downers Grove and raised in Carroll Stream in a Christian home where my parents attended the Parkview Community Church. My first memories of hearing about the gospel, I was 6 years old. My grandma had the Christian radio on. My cousins and I would ask questions about Jesus' death and resurrection. Most Sundays we would attend church, even though I heard the truth. By the time I got to high school, I was hanging out with the wrong crowd. Though I wasn't doing right, I would pray and talk to God. I was going to a Methodist church, but it wasn't preaching the gospel clearly. It's like Paul says, I had a form of godliness, but I didn't have the power of the Spirit. I was a lost church attender, dead in my sins. How I came to know Christ. God was calling me to salvation, but I needed to find some true believers to tell me the clear gospel. We went on a mission trip to West Virginia, and I talked to some believers who were committed to Christ. I heard the gospel clearly, and I put my faith in Jesus. I was born again. That happened when I was 18 years old, 4 years ago. It was like Jesus said in Luke 7:47, I tell you, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. The ones who is forgiven much loves much. And I just want to say I love Jesus so much, and I'm so glad that he saved me. My life since I came to know Christ. When I came to know Christ, everything was new, and I realized I needed to be baptized. Around my 18th birthday, I did follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I wanted everyone to know that I was a Christian. When I was born again, I realized I needed close fellowship with believers. The church I was attending didn't have a lot of people my age, so I joined InterVarsity Fellowship at COD and found other followers of Christ my age. I started reading the Bible a lot. I love Bible study at church and also personal Bible study. Right now, I'm learning to read the Bible more systematically. I've been jumping around in the Bible, and I want to be more consistent in learning the Word of God. I also love singing to the Lord. I used to help on the worship team, and I enjoy serving the Lord that way. Childcare has also been a wonderful way as well to serve the Lord. I love teaching the Bible to little children. God has helped me to develop a prayer life. God started waking me up in the middle of the night, and I realized that when I wake up, he wants me to pray for people. So I enjoy the Lord reminding me of all the people in my life that need prayer. My confession of Christ, who Jesus is to me. As I come from membership at Living Hope, I want to confess that Jesus is my light and my salvation. He's everything to me. He's made me a new person. He's brought me to repentance for sin and given power to live a holy life. I'd like to close with a passage of scripture that I love from Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. All right. Come on up here, Scott. What a blessing just to get to know the O'Reillys. Scott's been so faithful to everything. We're so grateful for you.
My life before Christ. I was born and raised in a small town near Springfield, Illinois, named Virginia, Illinois. I don't like to lead with that because people think I'm from the state of Virginia. We were in church every Sunday when we were kids. My parents didn't always go, but my cousins, who were older, always made sure that we got to church. And my parents became faithful Christians later in life. How I came to know Christ. God had me drawing me to come to him since I was a young child. I made a profession of faith in Christ when I was 9 years old, and I was baptized. Even though I was so young, I believe the Lord truly saved me. I made up my mind that Jesus Christ died for me personally, a sinner, and he rose again and I wanted to follow him for myself. How my life changed since I came to know Christ. I kept going to church and serving the Lord faithfully, but when I joined the Marine Corps, my focus got off the Lord for a couple years. But I was never comfortable in the world. I knew Christ was with me. The Bible says, whom he loves, he disciplines. And the Lord quickly brought me back to him. I realized I had wandered from Christ for a few years, that I went on my way, but he never left me. He would never leave or forsake me. I moved back to Central Illinois, Virginia, where I got a job and attended the church that I grew up in called Shiloh Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Later on, I moved up to this area, the Chicago area, where I met my wife, Jennifer, and also attended DeVry University and got a bachelor's degree, and then got a job here. And Jennifer's mom had a really big influence on my growth in the Lord. When I moved here, I started looking for churches. I also knew I needed to get married. And after I started dating Jennifer, we started attending church together. The more we got settled in the church, the more my faith grew. Since I came to know Christ, God has been faithful to grow me in Christ's image. As I have grown, I have become more serious about hearing the word of God and being with God's people. I also have seen God make me a better husband and father. Since I was a child, we would go to good gospel preaching churches. More recently, though, through mutual friends, we started attending a church that really did not preach the gospel very clear. But at the time, we didn't know that. Eventually, we saw the false teachings, and we realized we had to leave. And then not long after that, Caitlin found Living Hope. Since coming to Christ, I have a hunger to hear God's word. Most of all, I want to please God and lead my family in a way that would bring honor to my Lord Jesus Christ. My confession of Christ. As I come to Living Hope for church membership, I want to say that Jesus is my Savior and my friend. I want to praise him and serve him every day. It's my highest joy to walk with him. As I close today, I want to leave you with a couple of scripture passages that speaks to me. Proverbs 15:1-4. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. I also want to leave you with Titus 3:4-7. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Bless you, brother. Thank you. That was beautiful.
And Lord, we thank you for this time that we could just hear these wonderful testimonies of transformation in Christ. We bless your name. Help each of us to proclaim the gospel everywhere that we go and save many more like you've told us this morning, all these that you have saved. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.